Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Janae and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake here with you on the podcast. We are preempted yet again by ESPN Radio's coverage of the Major League Baseball postseason, which we love, and we hope you guys are all enjoying on ESPN Radio, where we normally are 4 to 7 Eastern, Monday through Friday. But we wanted to bring a little something special to everybody and just, you know, make sure we are getting up to date on everything that's happening right now in the world of sports. We tried, Janae, to do this yesterday, and we had some really accurate picks about what was going to happen in the Lakers Heat game 4 in the NBA Finals, and a lot of other stuff we caught up on, and then some technical difficulties happened, so they just have to take our word for it.
Look, I honestly know why the pod didn't come out yesterday. It's because we spilled way too much of our personal tea the last time we went on dates, what it was like, so I think they want us to stay focused. And they're like, oh, technical difficulties. They're like, no, we were wilding, but we'll do our best to recreate that today.
We will. Well, and I want to get caught up because, like, obviously we get used to, and we mentioned this, seeing each other every day for the show, being around everyone on our staff, and then all of a sudden we hit Major League's postseason, and we were preempted like 4 days last week. We're preempted, I think, 4 days at least this week. And so we don't get to see each other. So, like, how have you been? I miss you.
This is a safe space, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm great. Getting to sleep, getting to relax. I miss our army. I miss our stands, the secret sauce of ESPN Radio. So I miss everyone, our family that we get to talk everything with. But it's been nice, you know, just trying to catch up on work. We'll be back soon. And I guess two highlights that have happened most recently, three outside of my date, which was super bougie in Beverly Hills, which we did very safely, social distance and everything. One, I actually was so lucky to moderate a conversation with ESPN President Jimmy Pitaro, and then also NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and Vince Carter. And so I'm working overtime to get that conversation available for our Chene and Golic Jr. family. So that was cool. Two, I just watched my little sister, Erica, get her virtual white coat ceremony, like, thing, which was actually really fun. It was kind of weird because, like, the doctors were educating us to what we, like, oh, white coats are a fashion item according to Grey's Anatomy and Scrubs. But this is what it actually so it was super cute. It was funny because I'm like, so these doctors can't just help but lecture us even when we're guests coming to a ceremony. So damn, it was so funny. They had slides on slides on slides on the meaning of white coat. So watching my little sister in her virtual white coat ceremony was kind of fun. It was cute. And then last but not least, I'm trying to think, what else did I have? Did I name three things?
Was that you three? Name well, it was three. Was this still counting the date and all this? Because first off,
congrats, oh, that was the date. That was it.
I was gonna say, yeah, congrats, yeah, to your sister first off on that one. Like, I have never felt less accomplished than hearing you list off all those things. Like, we're looking forward to that conversation. Obviously, everyone around here at Chene and Golic Jr. loves Jimmy Pitaro. We appreciate Jimmy Pitaro. Please give me a raise. And we think he's the best, and we're looking forward to that conversation. And you do that, your sister's becoming a doctor, all these great things. And I just said to you guys right before we jumped on here, what have I done? I realized it is currently 2:20 on the East Coast, and all I've had to eat today are carrot cake and cookies, which is the same thing I had to eat all day yesterday. So we can really see the way the dynamic in this relationship is working out. That being said, I still need a rehash and an update for everybody. Socially distanced, very safe, but the date did go well, right? Like, we're thinking round two with this guy?
It went really well, of course. Yes, your girl ordered tuna tartare, which means we were bad and bougie, you know what I'm saying? But wait, hold on. You were talking about your cookies, though. You eat so much crazy food, but you consistently come in and you look good. You know, like, thick, but like the slimish, thickish for alignment type of vibe. And I will tell you, my favorite part of our show ever on your birthday was seeing you stuffed to the brim from eating all that ice cream cake at Chipotle. And I could hear it in your voice. Like, looking like someone else that we've seen struggling with their, you know, voice out there. I'm going to just leave it there. I'm going to leave it there.
Struggling to breathe. That one right there. Let that one simmer a little bit. But you are right. Like, that is 100% terrifying, because I was sitting there trying to talk on live radio. And for people that don't remember, Chene, on my birthday, which was back September 28th, so a little while ago already, sent an entire catered Chipotle meal for everyone at ESPN Radio, 3 ice cream cakes, and about 9 dozen of these specialty donuts. And so you know how they show, like, on the charts, speaking of doctor stuff, when you go to the doctor's office and they're like, the human body is 70% water, and it kind of shows you filled up to a certain point? Mm-hmm. I was 98% food and beverage. It was, like, right here in my body, up near the top of my throat. And so imagine trying to do live reads. Like, I thought I was going to puke talking about DraftKings.
You look like it. You look so stuffed. But the funny part was like, welcome. You were just short of breath because you were trying to keep everything down. And our producer Shannon had the great astute observation that maybe this show needs a segment of Shannon Golick Jr. Man vs. Food. I think we should coordinate like certain foods and just try to eat them on the show, because like that's pretty much where our strength is.
I'm all about that. And that's how, like you mentioned, like that is how I maintain slim thick. Like I got to work out just enough to not get back to like former, you know, lineman thick, but like mixing that and mixing what we enjoy doing. Like for anyone that's not familiar, Chiney at almost any time during any one of our breaks on the show is usually busy slamming like pad thai or something there. We're virtual fans in the NBA bubble for game 2 of the NBA finals. And Chiney thought she was slick sitting there in the stands, like trying to turn to the side and eat her noodles. And I had to call her out. I was like, this is right out in the open. Anyone in the bubble saw you slamming noodles.
Normally we can go like in halftime, you know, in between quarters, go and eat behind closed doors. But virtual fans, like, first of all, they want you to stay there the whole game. And so for me, I was hungry because we came off of the show and then within a quick turnaround, and I was like, I ordered the Thai food and you got to eat it when it's hot. And so I was just sitting there like quivering the whole time, like, ooh, this is so good. So I had to take a couple L's and eat in front of people. And it's like, it's hard to be cute eating noodles. I talked about like being cute eating hot wings. Eating noodles when you're like slurping it in front of everyone, like I felt so nasty, but I was still hungry. So your girl still did it.
Hey, listen, we are going to be fully ourselves at all points in time. Now, granted, it doesn't sound like on the date, like it is a lot easier to look cute eating tuna tartare. Like that is a very like cute,
actually,
like I can eat.
It's hard though, because you got to have the chips and then you dip it. And so like you eat it. So like eating chips is not the easiest thing, but nothing can stop me.
She's all the way up. So now that we've got that established, that our man versus food versus woman versus food challenge is coming at some point on this show, and we're going to see if we can get me to eventually throw up on air because of that, because that seems to be the goal right now. We've got that to look forward to down the road. We've got the conversation between Chiney, Jimmy Pitaro, Adam Silver, and Vince Carter to look forward to down the road.
Chiney and Golick Jr., the podcast.
We do get to look back at something pretty cool that happened last night. We did have the NBA Finals Game 4 go down. We did have our prediction of a close Lakers win come through, and I want to get to that. But we also crowned a champion, the WNBA, Chiney, the Wubble. Take your victory lap right now. The Seattle Storm, your 2020 WNBA champions. Breonna Stewart went the bleep off yet again. Comes back, dominates, finals MVP there. What an awesome moment for the league and a crowning achievement for what you guys built this season.
Look, just seeing the WNBA crown a champion, it felt like a miracle. You know, honestly, we are watching a miracle, because what it took to get the players there and to feel comfortable and to play their game and to understand the sacrifices they were making, leaving their family in the midst of what's going on in the social climate, what's going on with, you know, coronavirus. It was beautiful. And honestly, it felt surreal. And shout out to the Seattle Storm, because one of their biggest strengths this season was the fact that they returned most of their firepower. We're talking about, especially in the NFL, certain players that opt out that have impacts on, you know, certain teams. And for the Seattle Storm to have Breonna Stewart, who, mind you, is coming back from an Achilles injury and wins finals MVP, and like you said, went bleeping off, has Sue Bird, who in a couple days will turn 40 years old and has probably the most decorated bio ever. And then Jewel Lloyd, who said after their win that this was for Kobe, this was for Gigi, this was for the Bryant family, and this is for Breonna Taylor. That gave me goosebumps. Like, not only pulling off what we felt a couple months ago to feel like it was impossible or never would likely happen based on what we were feeling, but now to see a team that had succeeded. And it was largely because a lot of their players chose to play and played at a high level, despite the age, despite the injury comeback season, despite what they were feeling and their connections with people that had dealt with tragedy in real time. So yeah, deserved champions. And man, like, I'm just, it's amazing because we have a champion in one regard with the WNBA. We're about to have a champion with the NBA. And that is a huge crowning achievement. We said, this is not a question mark or an asterisk season. This is an exclamation point season.
It was big time exclamation mark last night. Really cool one. You mentioned Sue Bird too. I saw Megan Rapinoe, her partner, who was inside the Wubble with everybody, tweeted the picture of her and said, Sue ages in reverse. And you saw her absolutely stunned. I saw it actually in Instagram Live she did today. I don't know if it was inside the Wubble and what she brought, but she was going through all the shoes that she wore during this playoff run for the WNBA.
Crazy.
Good Lord. Like, who brings the Red Octobers into the bubble and is like, oh, yeah, I didn't get a chance to ball in these ones, but here's like 20 other pairs of absolute heat, an absolute queen in every regard.
I mean, that's why she has the hashtag Keep Sue Fresh, like one of the freshest. And Meg, I mean, fresh as well. They're just a power couple, and it's been fun to see that. But, you know, that was a sweep. A lot of people thought that the NBA would be a sweep as well, but instead the Heat were able to knock off the Lakers for one. But I still feel good, and we have to literally keep pounding the pavement for people to understand. We were the first ones. You heard it here first. Lakers in five, and we are so close to seeing that happen.
It's been a movement, and we're finally seeing it come to fruition. And we mentioned, we talked yesterday, and we did say tonight felt like, you know, you got Bam Adebayo back for the Miami Heat, which was a big move there. God love Goran Dragic, man. You saw that guy, and they showed the footage of him in pregame, still dealing with that plantar fascia injury, just gutted trying to go out there and warm up. And you saw tears in his eyes. This man was working through some serious pain. Janae, you know, this is someone who's dealt with major injury. You're trying everything in your power on a stage like that to get back out there. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to, but they got him, you know, they got Bam Adebayo back in this, and it looked closer to the more complete Miami Heat team. And that effort throughout the game showed it. This was one that came down to the waning minutes of the game here, the last 3 or 2 minutes of this one for the Lakers to really pull away. Big Anthony Davis shot to cement the dub for the Lakers as they are one win away now.
Today at Golic Jr., the podcast.
We are one game away, potentially. Who is Finals MVP? And when you think about the Lakers, it's been a story of games because AD came out firing, and then he sort of had a lull. Right? And if a lull is like a 15-point game, kudos to you. But now it's funny because it feels like the momentum has swung back to the LeBron James stance to say, oh, well, LeBron should get Finals MVP. And I know, did you delete your tweet? Because you know me, when it comes to Lakers fans, I get nervous. You didn't delete your tweet?
No. I am not going to be bullied. Because you know what? This is the crazy part, Janae. I tweeted that out right after the game last night, that through four games, Anthony Davis looks like the Finals MVP to me, which I did not think saying the 1B best player on this team being in the running for Finals MVP seemed like a spicy take. But man, LeBron stands, who I did not think were out here this deeply in Los Angeles yet. Boy, were they in their feelings.
Okay, so here are the numbers. LeBron James, over the course of the finals, has averaged 28 points, 11 rebounds, and 8.5 assists. Now, Anthony Davis has averaged 26 points, 9 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and 2 blocks. And so a lot of people were also talking about how Anthony Davis stepped up to the plate and guarded Jimmy Butler as well. And so that's something you have to sort of weigh towards his case. But right now, I mean, this is where it hurts. Being a post, because you don't bring the ball up. And so in those big moments, LeBron James has the ball. And so it's his influence is just gravitating there versus what AD does in a different way, like defending and blocking. And so I am sort of split on who should get Finals MVP. I think whoever... The cool thing is, if you're thinking about, like, you're a Lakers fan, this is going to only bring out the best in each other going into game five, which means it's only going to be harder for the Heat to overcome it. And I feel like in game four, the Heat, they were so close to executing their game plan. Keep it competitive, keep it competitive, keep it competitive. And then down the stretch, that's where we overpower people mentally with how hard we compete and the plays we make. But instead, you heard LeBron James sent a text to his team before saying this is a must win. Oh, I wish we had the gong. Should we do the song? This LeBron James texted his teammates saying this is a must win game. And so they sort of had heightened awareness not to let this get away, because the worst thing you can do is give Jimmy Butler and company and crew confidence to even this thing up at 2-2 and thinking that they actually really in this thing.
It really is weird looking at all this, because the game last night, it just, and I think the reason a lot of this popped up for me is it felt like a weird game last night. Like, if you're going to point it at anybody, last night was the KCP game. Like, what he was able to do for that team early and often from beyond the arc versus on the other side, way too much Kendrick Nunn for everybody involved. Like, I don't know what that man put in his Wheaties before that, if it was just massive amounts of pre-workout, but that dude was out there with Kyle Kuzma levels of confidence, chucking it up. And I think I saw Ryan Russillo, our former colleague with the Ringer now, say, every Kendrick Nunn possession like this is a win for the Lakers, because we saw less Jimmy Butler than we wanted in a lot of those instances, less Tyler Hero outside of a lot of spots, and way too much Kendrick Nunn. And on the other side, you had Caruso step up for the Lakers. You had KCP step up for the Lakers. And you had this weird dynamic where Rondo and LeBron on the court together kind of muted LeBron's best stuff. Like, when they had Rondo bringing it up, off-ball LeBron wasn't doing it last night. He looked disinterested for a lot of that game until, like you said, they got the ball in his hand. So I guess that's the part that's going to be curious for me is, does LeBron smell blood in game 5 and say, bump that, I'm bringing the ball up every time, point God, go take finals MVP? Because you're right, he's in a position to grab it based on the nature of this team if he wants to.
Yeah, I think LeBron probably knows what's at stake for him going into game 5. Like, great, thanks, Rondo, for helping us win game 4. But game 5 is going to be all me and all us, meaning AD. And you mentioned it. It's time we put respect on their names. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, because I know how people have been slandering his name as long as he's been a Laker, because they've been saying, oh, he's not as consistent, he's been underperforming. Well, throughout this playoffs run, I think he's leading the team in made threes. Before the playoffs, that was LeBron James. So he stepped up and he's done the job in which they brought him there for. Danny Green was 50% from the field. Alex Crusoe, man, I love the name, the Bald Eagle for him. All of their supporting cast is really stepping up. And I think it's going to just be that much harder for the Heat to suppress that, because now you're going up against a team that can win a championship if they win that game. More importantly, who's going to win finals MVP? That thing is going to fuel those guys to play their best games, and we'll just see what happens.
I think LeBron's ultimately going to end up winning it, because I think in this game 5 scenario, like you said, he's very aware of everything. I said when they won the Western Conference Finals, LeBron sitting out there on the court, that was a visual that he had curated because he's prepared for all of this stuff. And I don't think this is going to be any exception, but I think Anthony Davis has stepped up, hit a lot of big shots for them in big moments.
Yes.
And
yes,
defensively has been incredible this series, whether it's getting in passing lanes. He's just so gifted. Like, skill set wise, there are very few humans that exist that can do the things he does athletically. Shot wise, he's just so gifted. But like you said, LeBron smells the moment. But speaking of the moment, I have to ask you an even more important question. I almost forgot about this. You mentioned nicknames. Last night on the call, I love Mike Breen, JBG, Mark Jackson. It is an absolutely incredible crew. Fair or foul, a hero is more than a sandwich. Did you hear that call from Mark Jackson last night?
I didn't hear that.
Off one of the Tyler Hero shots. I forget if it was in the third quarter. The internet was aflame because our guy Mark Jackson went out there. They're going to break, and he looks at Tyler Hero's play and says, remember, y'all, a hero is more than a sandwich.
I don't get it.
Like a hero is a kind of sandwich.
Oh, well, I didn't even know that was a sandwich. So I'm glad I didn't hear it, because it probably would have gone right over my head. I was like, what? I think I love it when they lean into all of that type of stuff. Like, be corny, be vulnerable, say what you're feeling, because at the end of the day, that's what we want. So I would say it's fair. It's fair.
I was going to say, I loved it. And people were appalled that, like, in this moment, in the NBA Finals on this stage, that was like – because, like, and Shanae, like, I don't know if you call, obviously you're playing, so you haven't called an NBA or a WNBA game or anything like that.
I've called a couple NBA games, the G League.
Oh, okay. So you've called some G League games. All right. So you kind of know that, you know, you come up with things, and whether it's going to breaks or in big moments, you kind of have some stuff you want to go to. I'm getting ready to call college football game Thursday night, Houston and Tulane. I am going to work so hard to mix this hero is more than a sandwich line into the broadcast. I feel like it's my duty, because you know what, Mark, as someone who loves and appreciates that booth and what they bring, I want to support Mark Jackson in this moment and try and keep that line out here.
Keep that
in
going.
The lexicon.
Keep that going. Oh my gosh, yo, I'm here for that. I mean, honestly, when you're in the booth and you know how this is, like, you just sometimes have to ride the moment, ride the momentum, like, just let it go to break. And so I bet you when he said it, he was probably like, oh, dear.
I see. I like to imagine he was in the booth, and as soon as he said that, he gets off air, and he looks over at, like, JVG or Mike Breen. He's like, I nailed that.
Yeah.
I did good things.
Oh, my gosh. He could have gone for the easier one, you know. He can be your hero, babe. Like, there's so many.
Well, see, I know you would have gone the singing route on that one. The brand is strong, Janae.
Oh, absolutely. You know I would have been in there. I would have done that.
There goes my hero.
Hero.
It all plays. So, unbelievable calls. We'll see what it looks like. Again, game five, a chance to close it out, a chance to fulfill the prophecy of Lakers in five. So we will see if we'll hand out a congratulations there. Congrats again to the Storm and the WNBA for holding that down. The bubbles, the respective bubbles, because we know we already crowned a champion in the NHL, the Tampa Bay Lightning closed out their bubble. And so all the bubbles looking to close up shop here and get through safe and healthy, which is one of the charges, like you mentioned. The mission statement going into all of this was to provide a return to play as safe as possible for everybody involved. And mission accomplished. Job well done for you guys. Janae, I know you went into a lot of planning in that, so it's got to feel really good to say you got out on the other side of this and everyone was safe and healthy.
It feels really great.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
But you know what? When I still see the news of our counterparts, our brothers in the NFL, it just seems a little bit like, oh, goodness, I hope that, you know, I was listening to Keyshawn earlier, and he was basically saying, look, the whole point is to minimize what they're dealing with and isolate it. And so it doesn't wipe out an entire team. We're seeing, you know, recurrent positive tests, whether it's the Titans or other teams, even now with the Patriots. How do you feel about the state of COVID? Because we've seen bubbles work, like you said, NHL, NBA, WNBA, but when it comes to the NFL, it's a whole nother level of the amount of people when it comes to personnel and players competing and all the tough situations that they have to maneuver to keep it safe. How do you evaluate the state of the NFL right now, considering we are now every day seemingly getting, oh, goodness, here's a positive test now?
Yeah, so, and this is the update as of this morning. Adam Schefter tweeted this out, a morning summary, two new positive tests in Tennessee. Remember, Tennessee had been dealing with the outbreak there, and so we had had the Titans and Steelers game already pushed back and postponed to, I believe, week 7. The two new positive tests in Tennessee put Sunday's Bills-Titans game in jeopardy. Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore, who just played in the Monday Night Football game that was pushed back, he tested positive, putting Sunday's Patriots-Broncos game in jeopardy. And there were no positive tests today with the Chiefs, who played the Patriots on Monday Night Football. But pictures going around on the internet of after the game, Stephon Gilmore and Patrick Mahomes dapping up, one of the reasons they didn't want to do the jersey swap after game, just any extra risk involved in these situations being too much. And so, Janae, honestly, there's part of me that looks and says that we should have expected this. Every league has had to deal with, as it returns to play, something happening, but we got lulled into this false sense of security. And you know this, training camp's a different world. And so we went through training camp in the NFL, and we saw all these good numbers, and we saw all this reason to feel hopeful, forgetting that even though it's a pandemic year, you still operate your life differently in training camp. You're not living a normal day-to-day like you would in a lot of instances. So now we got to the season where we're a few weeks into this now. We're almost a quarter of the way through, and guys are starting to go through their daily routine of living their life in a lot of this the way they would in the season once you get out of that camp mentality. And so I feel like that's a big part of this now, where they're learning, all right, we have to really take that training camp-like diligence to this process and apply it to the rest of the season, or else we're going to be in trouble.
I mean, we knew things were serious, because you said earlier on, you know, a couple weeks ago on Shanae and Gola Jr., Cam Newton means to get a message out when he's using normal font. You called it wingdings before, what he was using, and the fact that he's like, all right, normal font, everyone, pay attention and use your masks, because, you know, we have so much at stake. And you talk about these pictures that are circulating after these matchups. We're seeing it not just in sports, but just in society, how one thing and contact tracing, how daily testing matters, because if not, it can run amok. And I think that's the beauty of what the NFL has jumped on top of. They realize, all right, even on bye weeks, like every day we are going to daily test, because that's the only way for us to keep this season going. And so now, are you concerned, though? We already talked about the Titans postponing their game to what, week 7? Now, if there's another postponed game, what do you see the impact of that happening?
Yeah, and so this is interesting. This is something Aaron Schatz, who everyone's heard on our show multiple times now with Football Outsiders, tweeted this out earlier. If the Titans have to forfeit against the Bills, which is something we haven't broached yet. We've seen games pushed back, but nothing forfeited. If the Titans have to forfeit against the Bills, that's really unfair to the other top AFC teams, including the Chiefs, Patriots, Steelers, and Ravens, a problem to just gift Buffalo a win without playing. And we heard Mike Tomlin say this, that they understand the competitive disadvantage that might happen, but he said, this is just this season. We've got to roll with it. This is kind of a different deal when we're talking about the potential for the playoffs now, all of a sudden, Shanae, where you might have a forfeiture, something we also haven't seen in college either. We've seen games canceled. We've seen games postponed, but it's not been called a forfeit or a win for anybody here. So this would be uncharted territory. I'm not sure how the league addresses this, because you've got playoff implications. We dealt with this somewhat in Major League Baseball with how many games does a team need to play to be postseason eligible. So this really is something I don't have an answer for.
Yeah, this is a potential that we sort of started thinking about going into negotiating the bubbles, knowing that the virus and how your team handles the virus, you know, and precautionary measures, how that could be in a form competitive advantage, like in the sense that I think that my LA Sparks team, they chose not. They were allowed to do a safe excursions in the WNBA bubble. You've seen a couple teams go to the beach. You know, it takes a team of people to escort them, and they have no access to anyone outside of it. And it's a portion of beach that has been, used exclusively for that team and curated for that team for that day. The Sparks chose not to go this season just because they felt like, hey, if we take this bus and we go out and there's, you know, this is something that we could see as an advantage for us to just be the one safe ones in the bubble. Because if we do expose ourselves to the outside world and another team does and you don't, maybe that works in your favor. So these are all realities. But I think the hardest pill to swallow is the fact that coronavirus is something that no one intends to receive, right? And so for it to be forfeiture and not have a chance to play just because your team contracted it or had a number of people contracting it and that caused postponements, I mean, it sort of puts pressure on accountability of the players, but also the organization to make sure that they play the season as safe as possible. Because guess what? That can actually literally work to your advantage.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the reminder that we need here from everyone. We've seen the NFL updated its policies. There's going to be harsher punishments for things like not wearing your mask. We saw coaches receive heavy fines for things like that. So the NFL is adapted and adjusted, but it's still the difficulty of the parts of this we don't understand. Incubation periods with the virus, how long? Because we saw that steady stream of positives for the Titans last week, a break in that, and now a couple of new positive cases. So all these things that we're learning about this that you mentioned, the daily testing brings to light, and you're trying to catch it, and you're trying to limit exposure to everybody else. But this is a reminder that it still takes that diligence away from the field. And so while the NFL tries to figure this out with way more resources, with everybody on the same page, with a union for their players, if I'm the Big Ten and the Pac-12, I'm very, very worried right now, because daily testing isn't going to save you from college kids potentially still being college kids in this scenario. It might help you catch it and prevent an outbreak, but especially for the Big Ten, where they're quarantining for 21 days, not the NCAA recommended 14 days in this process. And so it's all things to keep an eye on. But it's a reminder that when we hear daily testing, that's not a get out of jail free card for you. That just means you're going to find these sooner and get more answers.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And speaking of the Big Ten and even mixing in the NFL, What about the, are we going to say it? The Ohio State quarterback, former quarterback. Can I say that, or are we, are
you,
we in
you
alignment?
You can say that. I'm not going to say that because I hate that whole the Ohio State trope, but I digress.
Hey, so how about OSU quarterback Dwayne Haskins just came up in the news that he is likely going to be benched. He will be benched for Kyle Allen. How do you feel about that? Because I looked at the numbers, and there are a lot of people making comparisons to Daniel Jones because these are young guys, and Dwayne Haskins threw 4 games, 1-3, 939 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, while Daniel Jones, 0-4 record, no wins, 889 pass yards less than Haskins, 2 touchdowns, again, 2 touchdowns less than Haskins, and 5 interceptions, yet he seems to remain, you know, as a starter. So how do you feel about, first of all, that comparison, and also what they've decided to do with the Washington football team?
Yeah, these are both two young quarterbacks that have not looked great, and part of the reason that happens is because you're on bad football teams. We've seen injury take a toll on both groups. Washington's offensive line's banged up. We know Saquon Barkley is out. We know that they had opt-outs before the season that affected what happened there in New York, and they're not good football teams right now. New York's got a new coach for that reason. Joe Judge is in year one, as is what we're seeing with Ron Rivera and this Washington team. The thing that becomes interesting in this that I don't really understand is, what's the long-term player message here? Because on one side, you've got Dave Gettleman, who's still in New York, who's the GM that drafted Daniel Jones. So it's no shocker that he's still going to be the one there. There's been all this upheaval in Washington's front office. Ron Rivera coming there now, essentially operating in both roles, I believe, in this situation. But regardless, I'm trying to figure out who's making the decisions in this scenario. Is this because I don't think it's maintaining trade value. I don't think you're going to get anything for Dwayne Haskins on the market right now. You know, understanding maybe Kyle Allen, who was in Carolina with Ron Rivera, maybe there's some sort of, you know, idea of, all right, we'll let him take a spin with his guy. Understanding that the intention here to me long-term is they're probably going to let Ron Rivera go in the draft, assuming they continue to stay as bad as they look, and pick his guy going forward, which to me makes sense. Taking Dwayne Haskins off the field right now is kind of like Bill O'Brien, where I'm like, all right, this seems like a move that you either make a while ago or you ride out with now. But making that decision based off what we've seen at this point doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. And you mentioned it before, like Jason Wright, friend of the show, right? First black president in NFL history. He said that, hey, Coach Rivera is in charge of all football decisions. And I think even Coach Rivera said that, hey, if we were 2-2, then maybe we'd be prolonging this. But I guess he's trying to set the culture and the standard for excellence now. But, man, it's tough because this team, I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's going anywhere quickly. And then to remove the quarterback, a guy that you know, especially now with young quarterbacks, you really want to develop them and not just sort of destroy them. I heard that was mentioned earlier on the morning shows. It just seems pretty abrupt. Maybe, right? Because, like, we are all just getting back to football.
Ugh. Yeah, it does. And I saw a great breakdown from Dan Orlovsky looking at the rest of that offense. How, I mean, this is not outside of, you know, one receiver that you've got there, a great receiving core, an offense that's well-run in a lot of ways. And most of them don't have to do with Dwayne Haskins. Those are things that operate around him. And so I'm with you. It's kind of an abrupt choice here. But we clearly see, like you mentioned, if Ron is going to handle all the football decisions here, there is that aspect of you have to answer to the other guys in your locker room at some point. And if you're not winning and you believe you can get them with somebody else, it's kind of hard to look at a defense that we all look at and see performing at a pretty high level. We've talked so much about the defensive line there. And you know this, Chiney, there's the human element of having to walk into a locker room and say, my job is the head coach. And we know Ron Rivera is a, you know, player's coach in so many ways, is to walk in and make sure everybody else on this team isn't having to pay for us developing a young guy right now if we believe that's the case.
I agree. And, you know, I love you, Michael Jr., but my AirPods are going to die soon, so I feel like we should just keep that same energy.
We should. This is, you know, it's a great honest admission. I got that text in the chat. Message received. So, Chiney, while we've still got power in the AirPods here, keep that same energy. Who do we want to shout out as they were leaving the bubble?
H-Town, always, okay? On his way out of the bubble, Russell Westbrook left the housekeepers at the Grand Floridian Hotel an $8,000 tip, according to the Dallas Morning News, which was confirmed because he said, hey, I was raised to acknowledge people that are doing great work and to show that I respect them. And Woo! 8K tip to the housekeeping team. That was super, super impressive. And I think, you know, my parents always say, like, hey, when you're leaving, make sure you leave tips in hotels. 8K, though, that's – but, again, it's been a long bubble run for them. And for him to sort of show his gratitude, it was really nice to see.
I saw a great piece they did the other day about how everyone behind the scenes, how you make meals for 4,000 people inside the bubble, just how hard. And we saw a piece early on Rachel Nichols did about the people that have to import all the packages. It takes so many people, you know this as well as anybody, to pull off these environments. So kudos to Russ for showing some love in return.
And I know, speaking of the bubble, we have to shout out a colleague, right?
Absolutely. A big shout out to our own Malika Andrews, who I believe it was a day or two ago celebrated her 100th day inside the NBA bubble, covering the NBA postseason there for her. And I saw an interesting comment. She said she's almost got bubble Stockholm syndrome. She was talking to the commissioner, Adam Silver. I heard this on ESPN Daily with Pablo Torre. And she said it's kind of bittersweet. She's looking forward to going back home, but she's also gotten really used to life inside the bubble and is going to kind of miss everybody there.
Malika, come on, girl. We miss you, girl. Just come home. Like, I appreciate you, but girl, it's time. We welcome you with welcome arms, 5 feet or 6 feet apart.
Exactly. A socially distanced welcome back to the rest of the world when Malika finally gets to exit the bubble. So congrats to her. We appreciate everybody checking us out here again. As we're preempted, if we're off air on radio, we're going to do our best to give you some love over here on the podcast side. So make sure you subscribe, download, rate, review, do all those fun things while you are here. Steal your friends' phones, download it on their phone as a gift. They're going to love it. I guarantee that. Don't you think, Chanae?
Oh, absolutely. At Mike Golick Jr., at Chanae, hit us up. We appreciate you guys for staying with us throughout this time. And if we're gone, we're going to keep dropping some more pods for you.
Lakers in five. See you.
Lakers in five.
Thanks for listening to Chanae and Golick Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.